Welcome back to the Reality Served Real podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Michelle, and today we are going to talk to you about the last two episodes of Survivor, the last two episodes of The Challenge, and the last two episodes of The Golden Bachelorette. Last week was a crazy week for all of us. We had Michelle getting back from Korea. We had Abby and her daughter's birthday, and then this week Abby's sick, so unfortunately she's not joining us, but we are here to talk all things reality TV and fill you in on what has been going on the last couple weeks in these three different shows. Getting started here with Survivor, we have episodes two and episodes three to talk about. What did you think of these two episodes? What are you thinking of the season as a whole so far?
I think I like it so far. Episode two was a little snoozy, but I liked episode three.
It's really interesting to me that I think some of the like bigger, flashier players are the people who have gotten out the last or the first three episodes. So that was interesting to me because I feel like, I don't know, maybe some of the people that are a little quieter that we're not seeing so much of, we're going to start seeing because these bigger, louder players aren't there anymore.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. You're right about that.
So speaking of louder players, I guess, I gave my LVP to TK. During this episode, TK forms an alliance with Kyle and Tiana. And I think that he thinks that he's like sitting very well, but then they lose the immunity challenge and they go to tribal. There are people who are trying to get Sue out. And people who are trying to get TK out. And he is the person who ends up being voted out 4-2. I feel like he thought he had this game like completely under control, and he was totally wrong about that. So I gave him my LVP that episode.
Yeah, I kind of thought he had the game under. I was kind of surprised when he was the one that went home. I don't know why.
I gave
Because
Kyle.
he kind of acted like an asshole to in certain places. So I should have seen it coming, but I guess I didn't really see it coming.
Yeah, well, I think that's because he had such a solid alliance with Kyle, Tiana, and even, really bringing in everybody into that. I think, Kyle, I ended up giving him my honorable mention because LVP, because I think he was also completely blindsided by this turn of events. But the thing is that, like, Andy, you think Andy is maybe going to be at the bottom of these people, but he has kind of put himself, he had a little meltdown episode one, but I don't know. The guy was nervous because he's taken a back seat so far, and it's worked out for him.
Yeah. He turned it around, right?
Yeah, I almost gave him, it was hard for me not to give him an LVP honorable mention this episode because in this episode, it's the episode where he found the advantage and left the advantage and didn't, but I think that the reason that I didn't give him an LVP honorable mention for it is because he was honest with Sam about it. He built that the rapport with him, and I think that, like, all things considered, even though he should have taken that advantage to begin with, he did the best with what he could do with that. And I mean, he even had Sam like considering playing it for Andy. It was a good move. I mean, given that he didn't take it.
I thought that was so funny when he didn't take
I know,
it.
so did I.
And
That
then he goes,
means
it seemed like it was really quick that he went back and then it was gone. Damn.
yeah, who did you give your LVP to?
I gave it to Rome because I thought he was playing too flashy in episode two. And then in episode three, I kind of changed my mind. I think it's working for him playing that flashy. So. But in episode two, I did give him LVP.
Okay, that's fair. How about your MVP?
Tiana. I like how she like did what she wanted to do.
And she didn't just say with the TK Kyle alliance. Yeah, I totally agree. I gave her an MVP honorable mention because I think at this point she's kind of in control as far as like who might get voted out on that tribe.
Yes, I think so too. I think she has a lot of power.
However, I didn't give her my MVP. I gave her my honorable mention. I gave my MVP to Sam. I thought that, you know, he found the advantage. He told the right people about the advantage. He even considered playing it on Andy. I think that his great gameplay is like headed in the right direction, I guess. I think he's doing a really good job. You know, he is being open with Sierra about everything that he's finding, and I think he's like making like really deep connections with people that are going to make them want to vote for him in the end if he keeps playing a game like this.
Yeah, he had a really good episode. I agree with you. He definitely had a good episode.
So I guess moving on to episode three, you said that
You
Rome.
have
Oh,
episode
well, sorry.
two.
Yeah.
I just had one. I had one quote for episode two, and it was for Annika, and she said, "I've met a variety of men on different dating apps, and specifically with Andy, it's giving toxic, clingy boyfriend."
Yes, I had that one for her. That was a great quote. I also had two more. Sam, he says, "I can act a little bit, but I'm not ready for the bomb Andy was about to drop." So, and then he's referring to learning that Andy didn't take the advantage when he found it.
Yeah.
And then Tiana, when she's talking to herself about what she wants to do, she's like repeating to herself, "My instinct is never wrong. My instinct is never wrong. My instinct is never wrong."
Oh, yeah, that's good too. I
So,
like her a lot, so
yeah.
I hope she goes far. I like her a lot so far. I would like to see her go far.
Yeah, I like her too. I didn't really see much of her in the next episode, though, but I think that's okay. We're still early. Did she stand out to you at all in episode three?
No, not
I don't have
really.
any notes on her at all.
In episode three, it was more about like Teenie and Kashan and home, I feel like.
Yeah, so who did you give your MVP to?
I had a hard time really deciding, and
Okay.
I ended up picking Teenie.
Really? Okay. Why did you give it to
And
her?
because I thought Teenie kind of pivoted with the group, even though there was like a friendship there with Asia.
Yeah, I think that makes
And
sense.
not friendship, but like almost like an admiration because she was like knew the podcast and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that. And she was really close with the right people kind of being in the middle. And yeah, I can see why you gave her your MVP. I gave mine to Rome. The
Yeah, that's a
kind
good
of
pick.
yeah, this episode, I mean, he's previously won an idol. He's on this journey now. He like won the advantage. I mean, he played his idol, so now people are less suspicious of him because he did. I mean, just he's playing a really great game, and I like him a lot. I don't have him on any of my fantasy teams, but I need to probably swap for him because he's doing great.
You definitely should swap for him. I don't think I have him either, and I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, damn, he's probably getting so many points in these episodes because he's getting so many advantages. He's having so many confessionals, so many conversations that are like important conversations. He's running the tribe, really. Like everyone kind of like Kashan and Teenie had to kind of acquiesce to whatever he wanted to do because he's the one that had all the power.
Okay, so I just pulled up the Fantasy League, and Sam has the most points so far this season with 171, and Rome has the second most with 161.
See, I don't think I have either one of those guys on my team. Oh well.
Yeah. Well, that's who you want on your team, I guess, if you are swapping for players. You have until the beginning of week six, which actually might be this week now that I'm thinking about it.
See this, only three people got voted out so far. Is that
Or no, okay, this is week four. I'm sorry. So you have a few more weeks. Getting ahead of myself here. You're right. We are only on episode three.
okay? No, that's okay. You scared me because I haven't thought about if I'm gonna swap or not.
How about for your LVP?
Asia was my LVP for not pivoting when they tried to tell her vote out Saul. She wouldn't do it.
I gave Asia my LVP too. I think, I mean, she got eliminated. She had no idea what was going on when everybody was talking about her at Tribal. She like really didn't realize, I don't think, that it was about her. So.
No. And you know what's annoying me? And I already talked about this, but all the Rob has a podcast podcasters were like trying to talk about how it wasn't fair and that like all these things, it wasn't fair for Asia and they need to change the rules of the game. And like I had to ask Dylan because I didn't even understand, like, what are they saying that's not fair? And it was something about who gets to go on the journey. They're like, they should make it so it's whoever's most popular gets to go on the journey instead of, like, I guess you people volunteer. So I don't know. I'm like, why this girl, like, she did not impress. She was on for three episodes. She wasn't really that impressive. Like, we don't need to like rewrite the rules. Like, so many more egregious things have happened. Just kind of weird.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely wasn't her. I don't listen to Rob has a podcast, so I don't really know anything about her other than the fact that I know that that's a big podcast. So, I guess good for her, but yeah, I wasn't impressed with her this episode.
What, yeah, she was that. She was not all that, like.
Yeah, I totally agree. And she played like really hard, like she, which makes sense because I mean, you're gonna have to talk about it and defend yourself and whatever. So it makes sense that she would play hard, but I wasn't necessarily a fan of her. I think she's a big player, but I'm not sad to see her go.
Yeah, and I wasn't either. I was like, okay, she had a chance to do like the anybody but me, but she didn't do it. So
Yeah. I totally agree. Not good gameplay at all. Do you have
nope.
any last thoughts on Survivor before I move on to the Golden Bachelorette?
I really liked Saul in this episode. He was like, I didn't give him MVP because I wanted to give it to Teenie, and he's also like on the bottom of his tribe, but I really liked him this episode.
Did you have any quotes?
Yeah, I had from him. I liked when Saul and Rome were having a conversation, and Rome's trying to tell him, like, hey, it's Asia. And he just point blank to Rome's face said, is there any chance you're coming up to me and saying it's Asia just to make me feel good? I just love that he did that, like, to his face. I love that.
I had a part of that conversation too when he says, bro, 99% is a done deal, and we've been here for 30 minutes.
Yep.
And then my only other quote was Andy. Andy said, what people tell you is like second level data. It's okay, but there's better, more substantial, cleaner data, and that's people's actions.
That was really good. I don't know why I didn't write that down. That was really good too. That was really good. That's probably the line of the episode.
Good for Andy. I think he's starting to come into his own. At least I hope he is. I'm definitely rooting for Andy.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to the Golden Bachelorette. We had a couple group dates in episode two. We had a one-on-one date. Chalk, he got the one-on-one date. They went to Disneyland. And then they had like a nice night portion where he opened up about how he was married for 12 years to the mother of his kids, and that they just weren't right for each other, so they divorced. He seemed to be pretty amicable about that. But then he talks about how he fell in love again, and this was the love of his life. They were engaged, but unfortunately, she passed away.
Oh my, watch the show. This show sounds so sad.
It is super sad. Like, literally, I can't get through an episode without crying, but like, it's great.
Watch it because I'm too, I cried ever, I cried the dumbest shows. I don't think I could watch this. This sounds so sad.
Yeah, I cry at the dumbest shows too, but I don't know. I love a good cry. So yeah, so that was that date, and he got the rose.
Did they like shut down the park for them, or did they do it after hours or something?
No, I don't think it was after hours. I think it was during the day. I don't think that I'm assu I don't think the park was shut down, but maybe like a portion of it or something.
Oh, interesting.
Not sure exactly. I feel like there were people there though, but not like super close to them. But I don't know, it was a cute date. I gave him the MVP. I thought that he was just, I don't know, it was a good date. I think that they have a strong connection. It's the first one-on-one date, so a lot of times that person isn't, the person that wins, but somebody who goes far. And I don't know, I thought they had a really good connection. I was glad to see that. Then in one of the group dates there was a talent show, and oh my gosh, just like some of these guys, like somebody did comedy, somebody like had a karate board that they like chopped in half, somebody wrote a poem. So Dan, he did this like ribbon dance, and it was like so cute because like he has like a tremor and shakes, and so he talks about how like he was doing something with his hand so that to kind of like hide that a little bit.
Oh.
And he like talks about how like when this first happened, he was told that he had like 6 months to live, but he was like, no, like I'm not like okay with that, basically, and like turned his life around completely, and now, like he has like an average life expectancy. It's not like he's gonna die tomorrow type thing. So he got the like group date rose that time, and I thought he was great too. I didn't give anybody an honorable mention, but if I would have, it probably would have gone to Dan. Jonathan is the other person who
When
got.
you, I feel like shows, they always have like talent show, like even Claim to Fame does talent show. Like there's always like talent show.
Yeah, usually there is a talent show, an episode that has one. I think it's just like an easy group date for them to do with like a bunch of different people. And also like kind of like can showcase something that, about them to the lead that's just different.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I always think about like, what would I do? Like, I can't think of what I would ever do in a talent show if I was ever on a show like this.
Yeah, I have no idea what I would do either. I would be like the person who is doing a ribbon dance or jumping out of a cake or like doing something ridiculous because I have nothing else to do, and so the compete producers convinced me to do something stupid.
Yeah, you're right. They probably like backup ones for, yep.
That would be me. But this episode we had Michael, Jack, and Christopher eliminated, and Jack was like he's a big personality, and I think that's probably why he got eliminated so early. But he was definitely comedic relief. He was super funny, so I was really sad to see him go. So unfortunately, that was probably one of my least favorite parts of this episode was seeing Jack go. I was really sad to see him go. I didn't give him my LVP though because I like him too much. I gave my LVP to a guy named Bob. So Bob, He's at the he so he got eliminated too. And he's at the rose ceremony, and I'm thinking like, okay, it's really hard to pick an LVP for Golden Bachelor because all these guys are just like gems and adorably. It's so hard to pick an LVP. And so I was like, okay, this guy got eliminated and I don't even know what his name is. So I'm going to give it to him. So I go to like Google the cast list and look up who this guy is, right? And his name is
Right.
Bob. My dad's name is Bob. You have the same name as my dad and I still didn't know your name. That's
Oh no.
not good.
That
So
does not, yeah, that does not bode well. No. Wow.
so sorry, Bob, but you got my LVP. So Chalk had one of my quotes. Chalk says, "I'm the luckiest guy in America, in the world." And Greg, he says, "It was startling to wake up to a naked French man punching me. On the other hand, I can't say that's the first time that's ever happened," which is just funny. Dan says, "I've spent minutes this morning training for this, for the talent show." And then when after he gets like the group date rose, he says, "And we kissed a little bit. That's pretty cool." And then Joan, she says, "Today is going to be special because I'm in my element." And then she goes, "Well, I'm in a mansion, so not really, with 18 dates, but you know." So those are my quotes that episode. It was a pretty good, pretty solid episode. I think this show is just, it's so much more wholesome and better than the regular show. I mean, the other one has like drama and I guess like maybe it's relatable because people are closer to your age, but I don't know. This one is just so cute.
Yeah, it seems like it's much like people love it, it seems like.
Yeah, I even saw that Wes's wife, Amanda, like she watches it and she like said that she's like, "I haven't watched the regular version in like 10 years, but I can't stop watching the golden version."
Oh.
So moving on to episode 3 of The Golden Bachelorette. Okay, I gave my MVP to Charles L. If you saw this episode, you know exactly why. I mean, he was completely the MVP of this episode. First of all, there's this scene where he goes to he's with one of the other guys, I think it was Gary, and they go to this like convenience store. And he's like, "Okay, all these guys, there's so many problems. Everybody's snoring, nobody can sleep at night." And so they get like melatonin and like nose strips for like the snoring, and like he just like stocks up on like all the stuff for the men, so that they can like hopefully sleep better at night. It's hilarious. And then he in the group date, there's two one-on-one dates and one group date this episode. He's on the group date, he's on the winning team, and I don't know, he's never played kickball before. It's a kickball one, and he's never played kickball, and he just like does a really good job, and he's just such a good guy. And then there's this other scene where like Guy, who I actually gave Guy, I gave 3 MVP honorable mentions. Like I said, it's so hard. And one of them was to Guy, and for one of the reasons is because he has this like talk with Charles, because Guy's a doctor. He's like, "I've always
Okay.
wondered like about when my wife died, she had a brain aneurysm, and she fell and there was like blood in her mouth, and I guess he was standing right next to her when it happened, and so for like 6 years or how I think it's been 6 years, he's like wondered, or 8 years, I can't remember, but he's wondered like why there was like blood that came from her mouth." And he asked Guy about it, and Guy said, "Okay, so what likely happened is that when she fell, when she had the brain aneurysm, she bit her tongue, and the blood in her mouth was from biting her tongue." And he's just like crying and like, you know, like I've needed this answer. I've you know, wondered if there's something I could have done or like what. And so Charles,
Wow.
yeah, the MVP of this episode, and Guy, I gave an honorable mention to for that. And then also this guy Kim, he writes this song, and it's called The Mansion Men. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. I should have written down the lyrics. It's hilarious. And he tries to get all of the guys to sing it with him, and the other guys are kind of like, no, like this is your song, blah blah blah. We didn't write this. And gosh, I didn't have this as one of my quotes, but he's like says something about like, well, Beethoven wrote the Seventh Symphony, and it's not like, you know, like he could sing that all by himself or do that all by himself. Like that would sound terrible or something. It was funny, but Guy is the only person who ends up performing it for Joan with Kim, and so yeah, he's just a great guy. So Guy got an honorable mention for that, for those two things. And then Jonathan, he was one of the one-on-one dates. Actually, both of the one-on-one dates I gave an honorable mention to, both Jonathan and Pascal. On Pascal's one-on-one date, they have this like sports car, red sports car that they take a pri that they drive to a private jet that takes them to Vegas, and pretty much he gets the pretty woman date. And I'm thinking of that in my head, like, oh, Pascal gets the pretty woman date when he, and then he has a quote that says, I feel like I'm the pretty woman man. I'm Julia Roberts right now. So he thinks the same thing, which I thought was pretty cute. Yeah.
That's funny.
And he's like the French man too. You have to remember that. He's just this like very like classy, upscale, likes the finer things in life, so he's definitely the perfect person for her to have taken on this date.
And she gave both the guys roses that she went on dates with.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay,
And
that's
then Jonathan, they went horseback riding. They had like a picnic with champagne. And during this date, though, even though he gets the rose, Joan is like thinking a lot about her late husband. And eventually when they go back for like the cocktail party, Joan opens up to about her feelings about her late husband and how much, you know, she misses him, even though it's been years. And although she does think that she's, you know, ready to move on and have love in her life, she's lets them know she's not sure if she's ever going to be like 100% for any of them. She's like, it might be like 90% or 80%, I don't know, but I feel like, you know, like my husband is always going to have a piece of my heart.
oh, see, this show's so sad. Oh.
Yeah, it is sad, but it's why it's great. Honestly, that's why it's so great.
Right, no.
I wish you were watching it just because of that.
Everything you're telling me, I could not watch the show. I would be crying. And I would be like thinking, I would be thinking about, I don't know, it would make me think too much. It wouldn't be good for me.
Literally during like the premiere, I think I cried like three or four times. Like, yeah, it's a tearjerker, that's for sure. But I don't know. Like I said, I love a good cry. It's cute.
Yeah.
I did give Kim my LVP this episode. He didn't get the Mansion Men besides Guy to sing with him, and he got eliminated. So I gave it to Kim. But it was also so cute too. Guy, they must have been, I don't know if they were roommates, but they must have been really close because when he's outside the mansion doing his exit interview or whatever, Guy comes up and like gives him a hug, and he talk or whatever. And Kim says, he's like, what are you doing out? I didn't know you could be out here, because it, you know, he wasn't eliminated, but he just wanted to say bye. So Guy is a great guy. But Kim, he got my LVP this episode. I have a few quotes besides the Pascal one. Well, actually, he had one other one. So when they get to the car, he's like trying to ask her if he can drive, and she's like, no, like I'm driving or whatever. Or she goes, no, I'm driving, I'm in charge here. And he goes, so I'm a very bad passenger, okay?
Oh.
Charles L, I'm going to fix the snoring and sleeping problems for all of us here. And then Keith, he says, our brains think we're 25. Our bodies are like, no, you're not. Shock, he says, I saw something I haven't seen before, a 60-plus-year-old man diving through the air. It's amazing what we'll do for a pretty lady. And that's referring to the kickball game. Charles, he says, did you see the ball? I kicked it. I kicked it. They didn't catch it. And then when the guy, his team losses, when he's getting back on the bus, he says, I need some ice bags. Seriously, what an idiot I am.
Oh.
But yeah, so that's the last couple episodes of The Golden Bachelorette. I'm thoroughly enjoying the show. I think out of the three shows that we're talking about, that one's probably my favorite. I think that is just so funny.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Okay, so moving on to the challenge. We have episode 6 and episode 7 to talk about. But with that being said, this is the last week. So Wednesday is before the episode is the last time to swap out any players that you need for the season because the swaps are at the beginning of episode 8. So make sure if you're going to swap anybody, you do it soon.
Got it.
So episode 6, we had Laura versus Kara. Jenny is upset about getting targeted. We had Josh and Tori talking about if they should trust bananas. We have Jonna and Nehemiah talking about why he nominated her. We have bananas trying to break up Michelle and Devin. When we have the daily challenge, Era 4 wins, Era 1 loses. So then in the chamber, there's like Laurel, and bananas and Jonna and Corey that they're debating about who needs to be nominated. And then when we get to the elimination, we find out that it is Corey and Jonna versus Brad and Rachel, where we have Corey winning and Rachel winning. What were your thoughts on this episode?
I'm not really loving the season. It's just like I'm just not understanding how some of the challenges are fair when one team has more people. And I saw how they tried to accommodate that in the episode after this one. Fine. I'm not really loving the eliminations. They're kind of blah for like such a big season. These are the eliminations we're doing. I don't know. I thought Derek was like really wow, that he kept going after he hurt his leg. That was
Yeah.
pretty incredible.
That was very impressive, honestly.
Yeah, I gave him MVP for that because I mean, I'm
Really?
sorry, that was incredible.
Good for Derek. Yeah, that I can totally see why you gave him the MVP. I gave it to Bananas, just because I feel like he really has like a lot of control in this situation. You know, like Era 4 is wanting to throw in Laurel and Bananas, but they're not getting thrown in because of who the nomination people were, like because of Josh and
Oh yeah, because Josh felt he owed him one. I remember that.
yes. Who is he in there with? I don't know why I'm blanking out.
Jenny, right? Was it Jenny?
Maybe it was. I'm not sure, but yes. And then also, yes, it was Jenny because people were talking about how like Josh was the determining factor, but really it was Jenny because Jenny would never say Banana's name. He's one of the only connections that she has in the house and
Exactly. But that's the only reason I remembered it because I knew it was kind of, either way, it was kind of up to her. I actually feel bad for her this season, and it's making me laugh because I'm such a root for the underdog person, and she keeps getting thrown in. So I do kind of feel bad for her. I know she's boring.
Really
I
an
know she's.
underdog, though.
What do you mean?
I mean, she is in the fact that, like, socially people keep throwing her in, but
Yeah,
I think
that's
that she's
what
like
I mean.
better than almost all of these people. And so
Yeah.
even though she keeps getting thrown in, she's kind of like getting thrown in to take people out.
Yeah, that's true, but it's, I guess it's just I'm feeling bad for her more than rooting for her is what it is.
Yeah, I can see that. Because she was very upset about being targeted again. And I gave an honorable mention to Josh for kind of for first of all for like winning, for having power, for but mainly for doing what he wanted to do and not letting the rest of Era 4 dictate that. Even though Jenny did have like such a big say in it, Josh is the one who has those other relationships, not her.
And he didn't really hide. Well, from what we saw, he didn't hide behind her and be like, well, she was going to say this anyway. So I just went with it. He was like, he kind of backed her up and agreed. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
he had definitely had a backbone about it, which is why I gave him the honorable mention. I just thought, for Josh, this was a really good episode. It showed a lot of growth.
Yeah. This season is a good, better season for him.
I agree. And then I gave Brad my LVP because that was just such a terrible showing for Brad. I know he said that he had personal stuff going on back home and that he maybe came into the season like too tired, too sleep deprived, too with other stuff on his mind. So that's unfortunate, but yeah,
Says
this.
that, and I'm a Brad defender, but every season this is his, what he says. No,
Kind of, yeah. Every season he
that's just
does poorly. I don't know. And maybe it's true. I mean, I don't know what he has going on, but
I
yeah.
think he was saying he broke up with his girlfriend right before.
Well, he got Emily, kind of. Until the whole nomination thing. I guess that's when it went awry, is when she self-nominated. Then he felt like he had to, and they fizzled.
Yeah.
Did you have any quotes?
Oh, I put, now I don't know if I should have done
Brad,
this.
your LVP.
Yeah, for my LVP, I don't, this is not, but like, I put Kara for not freaking throwing the challenge.
Oh, okay.
I thought she should have thrown it.
So that Laurel would go in.
Laurel and Johnny, the two people who are coming after her time and time again, who are throwing it when she's at risk. I know she wanted to be like the bigger person, but I don't want a bigger person. I just wanted her to throw it and screw them over too.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I was
But
surprised she didn't
I'm
say what
like,
given who the targets were.
yeah, exactly. And then quotes, I had Jonna saying, Jordan, shut the fuck up. Brad saying, honestly, one more L and I'm ready for a flight. And then I forget what was the context of when Car Maria said, Karma, where are you? Maybe when Laurel didn't get picked for the elimination. I forget what the context was.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. It was something with Laurel and like maybe it's because she didn't get picked.
Okay. Okay, so I had Nehemiah when he's talking to John A, and she's like talking about like how disappointing it would be to her family if she got sent home and was like, oh, well, I nominated myself for this or whatever. He says, yeah, but it puts you in a position of power. Corey, he says, treat that balloon like a newborn baby, and if anyone knows about newborn babies, it's your boy. And then my last one, Michelle, she says, when you're watching this back and you're looking at your game introspectively, and you're sitting on the loser's bench, and Bananas is sitting on his throne once again with Laurel by his side, we're going to look back and say, This is the one shot, and we missed it.
Yeah. Gotta agree.
For sure. I mean, there's, it should have happened. I mean, I don't know. The thing with Michelle saying that, though, I don't know if Michelle was in power, if she would have made that move. Because she's also close with Bananas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Moving on to episode 7, who was your MVP? We had like.
For episode 7, I had a hard time picking one, but I ended up picking Aviv because when she jumped to get the flag, I thought it was really cool that she could do it.
Yeah, because she's like 5 foot. Yeah, good. Go for. I could not do that. So good for Aviv.
Yeah, I made me like be like, oh wow, she really is, because you know what? If she hasn't been on in so long, so you kind of forget about like what these people can do.
Yeah, I agree. I've never seen her before, so I didn't see her season, and yeah, I think she's doing a great job. Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
And then I thought she handled the deliberation well too. And then she avoided being picked to go into the elimination. So I guess that's a few reasons why I picked her. It wasn't just the one.
Yeah, no, that's a good pick, I think. I gave it to Devin. It was his birthday party episode, and he and Corey kind of got into like a little fight about the rotation. Corey has expressed concern about this rotation before, and since Michelle it went into elimination, obviously since her and Devin are dating. She wasn't going to say Devin's name. Corey thought he should have volunteered. And this is where the rotation is starting to get a little messy. But I gave it to Devin because whether Corey likes it or not, it was a good game move. And I gave Corey my LVP because Amanda literally told him that this is what was going to happen. Everybody else had their number ones and that they could be their number ones in. The era, and I'm not saying that Amanda would have made this like a whole lot different, but kind of it if she was there this entire season, if he would have saved her episode one, if he would have stuck his neck out on the line from Tori, yeah, it would have been drawing a line in the sand episode one, but you're on the bottom anyways, Corey, and right now this episode proved it, and we're only 7 episodes in. Which is kind of a long ways if it was a normal TV show, but this is a challenge. Like we're getting over 20 episodes. So no, this is a terrible move. This your game is sinking way too early. No.
Yeah, he didn't fight hard enough to keep his allies around. That's his bad.
I did give an honorable mention to Darrell. The reason that I couldn't give him a full MVP is because of the way that he handled that elimination, losing in the sand, basically. I mean, the way he wiped away the sand instead of like trying to hurriedly do the math, I don't understand it. So, I couldn't give him a full MVP because quite honestly, part of me wanted to give him an LVP, but I couldn't do that either because he conquered his fear and he jumped.
Yeah, I was happy for him that he did that. You know
I
what I
was.
didn't understand? Why the hell did Darrell volunteer when Derek has no leg? Shouldn't have Derek have just been like, I'm gonna like just take one for the team and volunteer since you're the best shot going forward?
Well, I think I maybe, but I think that the thought process was probably like Derek's gonna lose, and then this way we at least like have a shot of having more people longer.
I guess, yeah. I guess, yeah. I just didn't get that. I'm like, if his leg is really like the man was walking on one leg, I don't know.
Yeah, no, Derek does not look good, and now he's a target, so that's I it's not looking good for Derek.
I think they're not even gonna let him do an elimination. I think they're gonna DQ him, but I actually really don't know, so we'll see what happens.
I'm not sure what will happen with Derek, but I think his days on the challenge are numbered. I gave Michelle also an MVP honorable mention. I thought that the way that she handled things this episode was once again growth. I think she Banana's trying to break her and Devin up. The way she handled that situation, I feel like it could have been, I mean, and they were drinking too. I feel like it just could have been like way worse than it was. And she stayed pretty level-headed during that argument. She also stayed very low, like during his birthday party and everything. I thought that it was a good episode for Michelle, in regards to like just like not being a crazy person and like staying like level-headed about the elimination, winning the elimination. All I think she really did a good job this episode.
I think so too. I kept waiting for it to turn because she kept saying how calm she was being. I'm like, okay, it's gonna turn. Now it's gonna turn, but it never did.
Who did you give your LVP to?
I gave mine to Bananas because he is whining so much about Ryan not being picked. And I love that Ryan said, like, I was your scapegoat. In my 20s, he's like, I don't really feel bad about this. I love that.
Derek had a quote. I wish I would have written it down, but I didn't. But it was like something like, I don't know, like how he's mad because they get along with the girls and they're not going to throw him in or something.
Yep, exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Did you have any quotes this episode?
I liked when Kara was doing her speech and she called Darrell and Derek IKEA furniture. Is that what you said? Like she compared them to IKEA.
I didn't catch that. That's funny. I heard that that must have been part of Cara Maria's roast. I heard that she did a roast on everybody.
Yeah, they only showed a few short clips. Like she called them like old. She didn't say old. She said something that like meant like old, and then she said they were like IKEA furniture, like breaking down. I thought she was funny. She was good. I wish they showed more of it. And then my other quote was, oh, when Darrell was about to do the jump, Derek like was trying to hype him up, and it was like, you got it. Don't be a bitch. Like I like how he tried to hype him up.
I had that as one of my quotes too, but part of the reason why I had that as one of my quotes is because even though Darrell doesn't say anything, right after he says it, Darrell just gives him this like death glare, and it was so funny. I was just like, oh my gosh. Like he's like, what the fuck did you just say to me? So funny.
I feel like it was good because it like got him hyped up and like angry to do it, you know?
I had the Darrell quote about his kids. He says, I told my daughter and I told my son, when you get uncomfortable, you grow, so it's time to grow.
Oh yeah, that was nice.
And then I had two quotes from Naya. The first one was, the guy I fancy the most, that would be who he'd be going up against, and that matters to look at it like that. And I think that was, I felt like Naya was just like so honest and so real in that conversation with Tina. She also says, the natural thing to do would be just to finish you guys off. I mean, it's just like I said, honest and real. And so, yeah, I gave her those quotes.
I really wanted them to pick Nehemiah, but fine.
He's not gonna pick Nehemiah. They're so close. There's no way that would happen.
Know.
I knew like instantly that once Maya had power, there.
There wasn't a lot of suspense, right? Like we kind of knew right away what was going to happen with that. But I really, in my head, I was like, please.
So Kylan picks Cara Maria, Avery, Jenny, and Rachel as targets. I think he was trying to pick like hard competitors, and then Avery volunteered, which I
Stupid.
really hope Era 3 wins the daily because
They're gonna throw it to get rid of her. Because who else is it? Corey, Avery, and Corey, they're gonna throw it. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Especially if they get to like pick who they go against, and Corey would get to go against like Derek. Like, oh my gosh. Because then it's Derek, Corey, and Theo for the guys that Michelle picks.
Yeah.
And yeah, unfortunately, we'll see what happens with Derek, but I don't think it's gonna be good for him.
No, and that was another stupid elimination, by the way. Like, I don't want to see these people do math in the sand. I don't care about that. I don't mind when it's in like the final, the math problems. I don't want to see it in an elimination. I just don't.
I didn't mind the physical aspect of this though, with like having to move the poles quickly and move them out, because I feel like a long pole, that's something that's awkward, even if it is in like the metal structure or whatever, glass structure or whatever it was. I feel like that's something that does take some type of endurance to get it done. So I wasn't too mad about this elimination. There's definitely been other eliminations that I liked worse than this one.
Yeah, I just could have done without the math. I don't know. I really wanted Tina. Like, I love Darrell, but I really, even more than Darrell, I wanted Tina to win.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Tina's.
She's the entertainment
Yeah,
thing for
she's.
me. I
Yeah, so the entertainment this season's gonna definitely go to. I mean, I think that's just kind of been a trend this season, starting at episode one. A lot of the entertainment left, you know, Nerys, Amanda, Polly, like, I don't know. A lot of the entertainment is gone, which it's really sad because this was such a stacked season in terms of cast. But I mean, once
Yeah.
you get there's not really much you can do about it besides change the format.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, I heard Emily in on a podcast. This was a while ago, but I don't think I've said this yet. And I agree with her, and that is that she wishes that in the beginning they weren't told that there was an individual like winners, because they
Oh, like she thought, wishes it was the team.
Well, if they weren't told that, even if they weren't the team, and even if there was an individual winner, the teams wouldn't be going against each other. They wouldn't be eliminating each other. They would be wanting to keep Kara and Laurel and Emily around because they're strong.
Yep. They would want to keep the team strong. You're right.
I think that's the one thing that they did wrong this season. I think that what they should have done is like been like, there's $1 million up for grabs. How it'll be divided, you won't know until halfway through, or you won't know until the end. And then, of course, people will probably say it's rigged, but I think it's the best way to do it given the situation of the team's format. Especially considering like the chances of them staying in teams, you know, a lot of times when we have pairs, they end up breaking into individual. And knowing that there's an individual winner, we know that eventually they're going to break up. So if that's the case, then maybe they should have waited until then to tell them that.
Right. I agree with that. It would have been bad. I just like all the throwing. I don't, that's what's really annoying me. All the throwing, like, of the challenges. I don't know. That is really annoying me.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of the big flaws with this season.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any final thoughts about any of these three shows before we wrap up here?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, thank you everyone so much for tuning in, and we will see you soon.